Soon, China is expected to eclipse the United States as the world's leading importer of oil. Much of that oil comes from the Middle East, and that means China's clout in the region is getting stronger. This week, we've been exploring China's growing influence around the world. NPR's Peter Kenyon sent us this story from the United Arab Emirates.
In 2005, Saudi Arabia's newly crowned King Abdullah set off on his first foreign visit as leader of the largest oil producer on the planet. His destination was not the world's largest oil importer and only superpower, the United States. Instead, in what some saw as a harbinger of a new era, he visited China. And while the king has his own plane, he took a popular route. There are now at least twice as many flights between the Gulf and China as there are between the Gulf and the U.S. Saudi Arabia, Oman, and the United Arab Emirates are all shipping huge amounts of oil to China. Across this serene stretch of turquoise water in Abu Dhabi, an oil tanker rides high at a loading dock waiting for cargo. When you get a little closer, however, you're quickly enveloped by the industrial sound of a Middle East oil producer pumping and shipping crude at or near capacity. As China's energy appetite has grown, Beijing increasingly values its ties with the oil-rich and relatively stable countries in the Gulf.
From ports like this one, crude oil sets sail for all corners of the globe. And in recent years, more and more of it is bound for China. Hunger for oil has pushed China to seek out ties in a number of the world's trouble spots. Angola, Nigeria, Sudan, and Iran. China's economic interests in Sudan and Iran in particular sometimes put it at odds with the West. And China's been forced to modify, at least somewhat, its desire to keep its focus on trade and not politics.
After long ignoring the atrocities of government-backed militias in Western Sudan, China has recently begun prodding the government in Khartoum and rebel groups to negotiate. China has also endorsed three UN Security Council resolutions sanctioning Iran over its nuclear program. But those shifts have not been reflected in Beijing's trade and economic policies on the ground. Its new rhetoric notwithstanding, China remains Sudan's biggest weapons supplier. And in Tehran, Foreign Ministry official Ali Rezai told NPR that despite the UN resolutions, Chinese investment in Iran is booming.
You know, it's interesting to see all those investments and issues are intact. They have their own business with us. At the same time, they are under too much pressure from the U.S. side.
But it's not just Washington that's unhappy with China's strengthening economic ties to Iran. Analyst Mustafa Al-Ani at the Gulf Research Center in Dubai says China may soon be forced to sacrifice some of its interests in Iran if it wants to maintain good ties with the Arab world and access to its oil.
This is not a marginal issue. This is a major issue here in the region. If China wants to emerge as a major power in the region, supplying 60% of Chinese energy, they must understand the relation buyer and seller will not last for long.
Al-Ani says the atmosphere in the region is one of extreme uncertainty, with the U.S. image badly tarnished by the invasion of Iraq and the ensuing rise of Iran. Some are looking to China to step in, but for now, Al-Ani remains skeptical.
Certainly in the region, we feel the United States losing credibility. And we feel that in the near future, we're going to see a vacuum in the region. But we still believe the Chinese is not a mature power. Politically, it's still really very weak. Strategically, it still is not trusted. We don't feel China is a replacement to the United States in any sense.
But economically, the shift is well underway. For centuries, Imperial China and the Mideast had thriving economic ties as goods traveled back and forth along the Silk Road. Then, in the mid-20th century, Communist China served as an ideological model, and sometimes arms supplier, to Arab nationalists and socialists in the region. But analyst Abdelmonem Said Ali at the Al-Aram Center for Strategic and Political Studies says today the message from China is not one of egalitarian redistribution of power and wealth, quite the opposite.
Actually, China is giving two bad lessons to the Middle East. Number one, violating human rights has nothing to do with development. You can have both. The second is that highly centralized political power does not mean necessarily an impediment for progress. It is usually China is used as an example against local reformers.
It's a model that democracy advocates loathe, but the economic allure of the new China is impossible to ignore. It is perhaps nowhere more obvious than here at Dragon Mart.
We are so kind and so gentle.
This 1.6 million square foot shopping complex, nearly three quarters of a mile long, sprawls more or less in the shape of a dragon along the Dubai-Oman Highway. Here, some 4,000 Chinese firms offer everything from children's toys and double happiness cigarettes to forklifts and heavy machinery. Officials say it may be the largest Chinese trading hub outside mainland China. At the same time, with Mideast investors finding it harder to conduct business in the U.S., their money is increasingly flowing east. Dubai-based DP World, burned by a political backlash in the U.S. after it acquired American port holdings, is now funding a half-billion-dollar port project in China. Tens of billions of dollars worth of oil projects are underway. Inexpensive Chinese cars are selling as fast as they arrive in Egypt. And to the dismay of Egyptian craftspeople, most pharaonic souvenirs now come with a Made in China sticker. One Gulf economist predicts that regional investment in Asia, including China, could reach $250 billion within 5 years. But many of these oil-rich states will be watching China's evolving Mideast policy carefully, hoping Beijing recognizes that it will have problems becoming and remaining an economic superpower if it doesn't pay more attention to political relations in this sensitive and complicated corner of the world. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Dubai.